not been an as always, because we've been recycling old shows and using alternative programming and
you weren't the last show. I had to do with Parker last.
That's right. So I am now just kind of back in the saddle, so to speak, from via Zoom, of course, as we try to negotiate our way back into regular life and regular being in the studio and someday regular back in the theater. And that's one of the things that we will be talking with our guests about today. Today we are joined by Paul Strain, who is representing the DLO Musical Theater from Danville, formerly the Danville Light Opera. He's been on the show before, and we're very curious to hear what is going on in Danville and what's going on with DLO. So welcome to the show, Paul.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So Linda and I took a road trip about a month ago to the grand opening of DLO's new space, which was very exciting. Why don't you tell us a little bit about DLO and then transition into this exciting new thing that's going on with DLO.
So DLO began in Danville as Danville Light Opera in 1956. And we typically try to do three main stage shows a year, a fall show, a dinner theater show in the winter, and a spring show. On top of that, we have two youth productions during the summer. One for oriented more for teens and one for younger kids. So throughout the years, we have had rehearsal homes here and there. We do our theatrical productions traditionally either at DHS or at the Bremer Theater. I'm sorry, that's Danville High School. Or at the Bremer Theater at Danville Area Community College. And now we've started doing shows at the Fisher Theater. We've done some smaller shows in other venues in the past, but those are our three main shows. We look to partner a lot more with the Fisher Theater going forward.
Because your space is right, like two doors down, right, from the Fisher Theater now,
the new space? Yeah, our new space is literally 20 steps from the stage door of the Fisher Theater, so it's really advantageous for us and them, because we're allowing them to use our space is kind of overflow stage area if they need it. So really looking forward to furthering and continuing with that partnership. But for about the last 10 years or so, we've been renting two spaces. We've rent our rehearsal space at the Village Mall, and then our shop and storage space upstairs at a building downtown. So we've long been looking to consolidate those two locations and get into a space that was right for us. And the building that we have purchased at 141 North Walnut became available right before the pandemic hit. And it was an opportunity we could not pass up. So we felt we were in a financial position that we could bite the bullet and purchase the building. So now we have our own home. We are fundraising to continue to work on fixing it up and getting it ready to move into.
And so you have some fundraising events coming up.
Okay. We're doing several things. The next main one is to kind of keep our name out there and our presentation of musical theater ongoing in the pandemic. We're helping the Fisher Theater sponsor a showing of Little Shop of Horrors on October 3rd. So there's two showings of that at 6 p.m. and 9 p.m., I think. Yeah, and you can find out more on the Fisher Theater website or our website at dlomusicaltheater.com.
That's the movie, not a live performance.
That is the movie, unfortunately, not a live performance. We did Little Shop maybe 5 years ago, I think. Mm-hmm. So we thought it'd be something kind of Halloween-y and fun that was still movie musical to show. And we will show the alternative ending. So it'll be like the theatrical experience a little more.
Okay.
Indoor experience inside the theater.
Okay. Yeah, the Fisher elected to hold it inside to allay some weather concerns. So it's still distance seating. They're only selling 50 tickets. So masks on and away we go.
Okay.
Okay.
Are there going to be concessions and things like that?
Yes, the Fisher always has concessions, so their concessions guys will be there. We'll have DLO representatives as ushers. And if you look around, you may see some live Audrey 2 action going on while we're there.
Okay. So with the theater willing to do distanced and capable of doing distance seating of 50, does that tempt you into thinking that you can start producing live shows there?
Well, it's something we've been discussing, I think, like every other theater group since the pandemic started, is when do we start and how do we start back up? The difference between showing a movie and putting on a production is we can show the movie for, you know, maybe $100 in rights costs to put that on. Whereas as soon as we put on a full theatrical production, we're talking about, you know, $1,500+ to secure the rights for that. So the prospect of making any money at all goes out the window. So I think we're going to wait until we can be sure that we have an audience, a production that we can afford to put on for an audience that might let us at least break even.
And also people doing, you know, auditions and rehearsals and things like that.
Yeah, there is a lot of concern about the rehearsal process, audition process, and, you know, keeping that safe for everybody involved. And right now, even though things are starting to open back up and maybe might continue to do so, most of our regular cast and certainly our board doesn't feel like it's safe enough to start to do that kind of thing yet.
Right.
One thing about your rehearsal space, though, is that you do have lots of space in your rehearsal space. So it seems as though between both that and the size of the auditorium of the Fisher, you may be better positioned than other groups to start both the rehearsal and the performance end. But in any event, I'm not at all arguing with you that now is not yet the time. But I'm curious about it, if there is a timeline or any sort of a season that is contemplated yet for DLO.
So we have tentative plans. Again, this pandemic hit, you know, right as we were firming up our next season. So we had Mamma Mia in rehearsal
You know,
that we had to shut down. So our hope is to come out of the gate with that in the spring of 2021. I think that's the earliest any of us can see doing a major musical. So if that holds true, and we're able to do that, then we'll resume with our planned next season. Essentially, we'll just take a mulligan for a year. Mm-hmm. And our next season was going to be Hairspray for the teens in the summer with a younger kids show to be named. And then Hunchback in the fall, Bridges of Madison County as our dinner theater show in the winter, and Fiddler in the spring of 2022.
A lot of theater companies have been talking about the Black Lives Matter and how that's impacting how they're going to, what shows they're going to do, and casting and reaching out to the Black community. Is DLO talking about that at all?
Yeah, so what we've done is formed a diversity committee with some DLO veterans and just general members of the public to talk about the issue and discuss ways that we at DLO can make some realistic, codifiable changes to our procedures, to some of our work descriptions and casting descriptions and things like that, to hopefully better attract and retain people of color to our productions, and to do a better job of awareness and kind of marketing, I would say, or just attracting that segment. You know, it's something that many of us on the board, in fact most of us, have long known is an issue. Mm-hmm. That we don't serve that community really well, and it was important to me that we take steps to actually have documented things in place to try to make that better, and not just I'm not saying anybody has done this, but not just hurry up and put out a statement of support.
Sure.
Right. We wanted to have codifiable things in place to try to try to improve that relationship.
Yeah, Linda and I are both on the board of the station, and we've been trying to do our part to help the station do its part to help the theater community, and CU in turn do its part. And there is there's definitely the lip service part of it is in place,
right.
And the people of color that we talk to are say thanks for that, but
right.
And so I will share with you when we have more information about it what the station and a couple of the other companies in town are trying to get a kind of like a forum together. What's the word we're using, Linda? It's not a round table.
Town hall.
Oh, right. So are you already aware of it?
Right.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Great.
I've signed up for it.
Yeah, we've already posted it on our Facebook page and you can sign up for it. It's September 27th at 4 p.m. That's a Sunday. And if you go to the Station Theater Facebook page, you can sign up. I think seating, it's online. It might be limited number of people just because of our Zoom. So it's best to sign up.
Just like Paul did. All right. Well, that's great to hear, Paul. I'm glad that word got out or that you're paying attention or both. So that's exciting.
And one of the things we also want to do at this time, you know, especially since we have a pandemic going on and we're not inundated with show after show, is trying to reach out to like Peoria and Danville and like outlying areas and not be so insular to Champaign, Urbana.
Yep.
So it's nice that you're aware of what's going on here, and we're, you know, it's not like we're that far away from each other. And I know people from Danville come over and they're in shows here and vice versa. So I'm hoping that not just the CU theater community, but, you know, the surrounding areas in Central Illinois also, we can all kind of work together and support each other.
What other active theater groups are there in Danville besides DLO?
So we have the Red Mask Players, which is a group that's been in existence longer than we have, actually. They build themselves as the longest existing theater company south of Chicago.
Oh, wow.
So they focus on plays, just strictly plays. And we have the Dark Horse Theater Company, which, as you might think their name would imply, do some of the edgier plays and musicals. They've actually got Evil Dead the Musical coming up soon in October outside at Kickapoo State Park. They did that last year and it was so much fun. So if you can look that up on Facebook, Dark Horse Theater Company in Danville. If you want to wear a mask and go take a chance on getting some blood on you, that's coming up in October.
Hopefully fake blood, right?
Yeah. Hopefully fake blood. That's right. yeah, and Jerry's got some puppets in that show that he built. So.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Is Jerry going to be in it also?
He'll be backstage doing the puppeteering for one of the puppets. So.
Did they do it outside last year too, or is this the
yes.
first?
Oh, wow. Yeah, they did it outside. It's kind of, if you know that show, it's kind of the perfect setting because it's in the middle of a state park.
Right.
In this pavilion. And so it was really neat.
Nice.
Were you aware of Peoria doing the musical, Something Rotten, about 6 or 7 weeks ago?
Yeah, they brought that outside. I didn't get
Linda and I went and we saw it. And
yeah.
And so that was kind of an interesting experiment. And they were going to continue with a fall season, but they just announced this last week that they are not going to do that. So
yeah.
I think they were, although I didn't hear anything bad that came out of the production that they did, I think that they might have realized they were maybe a little bit too much too soon.
I think they cited financial reasons for, I might be wrong, but I thought that they mentioned on Facebook that also it's very costly.
The cost, well, right, I think that's a little bit the way that maybe it's kind of the analysis that Paul was talking about earlier, which if you're not going to be able to do it in a way that much revenue can come in, and you're probably spending more money because of all of the extra precautions that are needed, then it just isn't possible.
Right. Plus, if you're outside, you definitely have to bring in your own lights and your own sound, and that just adds to the expense.
That was really impressive, actually. That was probably one of the most impressive things about the Peoria venue was how permanent seeming. They made a temporary venue look, and how the sound and lighting was,
nice.
And staging was pretty well done. They could consider doing that pandemic or no pandemic, and it would be a good experience. But we'll definitely check out what Dark Horse is doing with the Evil Dead. That's exciting to know that something is happening that we can maybe cover and talk about. So
yeah, for sure.
How are your renovations to your space going?
Given the volunteer nature of our efforts, they're perhaps a little slower than we'd like. You know, we've had the budget to the stuff that we have to bring in professionals for, you know, we have to pay the money for. So that's kind of the main focus of our fundraising is, you know, new plumbing, new electrical. There's some truss and support work that has to be done to the building. But everything else is all DLO and volunteers. And, you know, people have jobs and people already have house chores for the weekend that have to get done. So it can be difficult to draw people in, and we understand that. But they're coming along pretty well, given our efforts. You know, our costume room is approaching done. So we hope to be able to move all our costumes here in the next 6 weeks, maybe. And then we can turn our attention to the rehearsal space and start focusing on that and the downstairs. So our original goal was to try to consolidate both our spaces by the end of the year. I don't think that's going to happen. I'm still shooting for that personally, but it's a lot to ask of the people that can be there. You know, maybe by January, February next year, we'll be able to move in fully to that new space. But we're all chomping at the bit. You know, we can't wait.
Yeah, well, hopefully you'll maybe have another open house or something like that when things do get further along the line, because it was fascinating to see, and really there was a lot of envy in our eyes and in our hearts, because that's something in our community right now, not just with the station, but with all of the theater companies, finding, you know, good space, rehearsal space, storage space, nobody has it. And
right.
And what you have, I don't know, stumbled into or sought out and achieved is really fantastic.
Well, we've long been on the lookout. So there are board members, our longest serving member, Ron McDaniel in particular, who's always on the lookout for real estate. And we've all toured, you know, I've only been on the board 5 or 6 years. We've all toured several buildings, you know, as they come up for sale. And the township, you know, had moved out of this building and moved into a more modern building, and it just came up for sale at a really, really reasonable price. I think they would have given it to us if they could, but by statute they had to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
So we got it for $1 over the minimum bid.
Oh, nice.
So and we were in a very fortunate position financially. You know, careful stewardship over really the last 10 or 15 years has left us in a pretty good position that we could even make this effort, you know, and do things like purchase the building. I mean, that's still a big deal. It was still $27,000, you know, that we had to go qualify for a loan, right, to be able to get. So to be able to have the assets on hand to go qualify for a loan like that was a significant effort over the last decade. On behalf of, you know, presidents and treasurers past and current. So
if people want to help DLO or find you online, where's the best place to go?
They can go to our website at dlomusicaltheater.com or dlo.theater if you don't want to type all that. We have a Facebook page with the same name that they can like and sign up for and get notifications of upcoming events, or just buy a ticket for the Fisher on the 3rd and we'll fill everybody in.
That's great. All right. Well, Paul, thanks for coming on See You at the Show. We have been following everything going on there very closely, and we're excited about Mamma Mia and hope that comes to pass.
Fingers are crossed.
And maybe we'll see you out at Kickapoo next month.
That'd be awesome.
Get some blood on us together.
Okay.
All right.
Stay safe and good luck with your fundraising efforts.
Yeah.
Thanks.
All
thanks,
right.
Guys.
And we'll see you at the town hall too. All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Paul.
Yep.
We also today have Gabby Bruno as a guest today. Thanks for coming, Gabby. And this is your second or third time on CU?
Second time.
Yay. Mm-hmm. Welcome back. And thank so you have a fun new project going on that you're involved in. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Absolutely. Yes. So I am originally from Los Angeles, and some of my theater friends in LA have been very bored during this quarantine because, you know, I'm sure you guys are all very well aware of the theater situation in the times of COVID. And so some of my favorite production people to work with, we've developed a little online digital theater company. It's called SideQuest Productions. And it's kind of like we're taking a little detour from our regular theater careers, our side quests, into this interesting and challenging virtual performance space. So we have our very first project coming up. It's a series called Intervallum, and it premieres next Monday on September 21st at 7 p.m. Pacific time, so 9 p.m. Central. And we're going to be performing it live on Twitch, which you can view it there. And then if you can't catch it live, we'll have it on YouTube to view for later.
So people who aren't familiar with Twitch, do you have to already set up some sort of account? Is it something they can just log in at 9 o'clock and look at?
Yeah. So we have, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook. We'll have links to our Twitch account. You do not need a Twitch account to view it. If you want to partake in the chat, you have to have a Twitch account. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, if you just want to watch, you just follow the link on our social media, and it'll take you right there. And at 9 o'clock Central Time, we'll do the show live, which is it's not a common thing for a lot of people are doing pre-recorded stuff, and or they're doing like readings of plays and stuff, which is like still fun, still good stuff, but we were trying to challenge ourselves to do something live as possible, with purposeful and like artistic choices. So we have like sound, we have costumes, we have scenic elements. You can't see the air quotes on the elements. it's really exciting. We've really challenged ourselves, and I think we're gonna have something really great.
Yeah.
Answer, no, you don't need a Twitch account. Or you can watch it on YouTube later.
So you said this is your first one. Is this gonna be a regular thing? Do you have, you know, like once a month, once a week? What's going on at that?
Yeah, so for Intervallum, the series, for this series, it will be every 2 weeks we'll premiere an episode. We'd love to do more projects. We're still kind of testing the waters. We're not really sure how big we want to go with this whole shebang, but we'll see. Yeah.
Sure.
So nothing yet on next on the docket yet, but send us an email.
Nice. And so if people want to support you in other ways besides just watching, is there a way people can give you money or help out in some way?
Yes. So we do have a PayPal and a Venmo set up. You can get that information on any of our social media accounts on Facebook or on our Twitch channel. So you can look, if you look up SideQuest Productions, you'll be able to find us if you're willing to donate, and we'd love it. There's no cost to view the show, so a lot of this stuff, like the programs and the Zoom accounts and stuff like that, we're paying out of our own pockets, which we're happy to do. But if you're willing to help, we'd accept the help.
Right, which hopefully that some people are willing to help, because I know everybody in the theater community right now really, I mean, we're not working like normal, so it would be great to help out, especially if you guys are paying out of pocket for this. Are you the only person involved from our area?
From our area, yes. A lot of the people that we're working with are LA-based. However, the person that wrote the script, and she's done a lot of the design, graphics, and stuff, she lives in Wisconsin.
Oh, cool.
And then we have one actor that's currently moving, I think, next week. She's moving from LA to Florida. So next week we'll be in four states.
Wow.
But yeah, so it's really special because I really miss these friends a lot, and doing theater with them. So this is kind of like the next best thing for me, besides being in the theater with them again.
This feels very cutting edge for, I think people have been trying to think outside the box, but I really like that you're doing it live and that you're trying to make it as theater as possible, but having people in four different states is pretty cool. And I hope you do more projects. How long is the performance going to be?
It's really short. It's only like a half hour or so. So it's very little time commitment on the audience. Not a 2 hour Shakespeare. Right.
Ah. I know when this first started, we were like, put everything online. We're gonna see things. But then we're so inundated with being online. I feel like really long productions, it's hard, because we're spending all day on Zoom for work or school or things like that. So it's hard to.
Zoom fatigue is super real. So yeah, we were trying to keep it short. We're trying to center whatever projects and stories we do, make them purposeful choices to why we are in these boxes. And you'll see when you tune in. Awesome. But I think anything to help make the Zoom part of the production, rather than this is the only way we could communicate, so this is how we're doing it.
Very cool. And what can people expect from the performance? Is it scary? Is it funny?
I think it's very funny. It's thrilling. It's action-packed. It takes place in space. So,
nice. So
yeah, it'll be really cool. We have some really wonderful actors, some just top-notch people that are just, like, not only are they great actors, they're just wonderful people to work with. So we're really thankful to have them working with us.
That's really cool. So one last time for our listeners, where can they go to learn more about it?
Yes. So you can follow us on any of our social medias. You can follow SideQuest Productions on Facebook and Instagram, or look for SideQuest Productions on Twitch and YouTube. You'll be able to find us there. If you have any questions, you can email sidequest.prod@gmail.com. Or sidequest.prod@gmail.com. And if you're willing to donate, you can find us on Venmo and PayPal.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Last minute, like I asked Gabby over Facebook, hey, you have a second to come in and, well, not come in, but Zoom with me. so thank you so much for being available and willing to chat with me really quick. I just saw that it was happening Monday and I was like, oh, I'd meant to contact you. And then I was like, wait, Monday's really soon.
Okay, it's a series, so if we want to check back in later, we can.
We definitely will, because I'm going to watch Monday, and then maybe we'll have you back to like answer questions or tell us more about it. I'm really, really excited. So it takes a little to make me excited now, but no, this seems really cool. Oh, yeah, we'll save those questions for the next time we have you on. So thank you so much, and I'm going to stop recording.
In response to unique challenges facing the immigrant community in East Central Illinois in response to the current pandemic, the New American Welcome Center at the University YMCA has created a special COVID-19 edition of its Immigrant Resource Guide. This guide is for organizations who work with immigrants, and it can also equip immigrant allies and advocates who are looking for ways to stay engaged. The Welcome Center has expanded eligibility for its Immigrant Relief Fund, and it has also created an emergency aid fund for Bailey scholars who are experiencing financial hardship as a result of the outbreak of the virus, leading to business closures or relocation. To find out about the University YMCA's immigrant resources for COVID, you can check the document at a website with the link tinyurl.com/CU Immigrant COVID. That website once again is tinyurl.com/CU IMMIGRANTCOVID. I think a quick Google of University YMCA immigrant resources would probably bring you to that document just as well.
You are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.0.